It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Got a special guest on the line right now, Joe Moorhead. Really needs no introduction, head coach at Mississippi State, former Penn State offensive coordinator. Joe, thanks for taking some time for us. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks a lot. Appreciate you having me on.
Well, I know a lot of people are I don't know if a lot of people are really following along with the nuts and bolts of what's going on down there, but you guys, one of the hottest teams in the country in terms of recruiting. What's going on? What do you got cooking for you down there that you're getting all these commits and waves?
No, certainly we can't talk about any kid specifically by name, but I think, we've got a very good plan, and I think that involves, early identification and evaluation, the ability to build and cultivate relationships, and ultimately being able to express the things that differentiate your school from the competition relative to the prospects decision-making criteria. And I think we've done a real good job there from top to bottom.
That's funny. I think I never really subscribed to this theory, but the national narrative, anytime you have a guy who's been in one place for a long time, one region for a long time, there's always this big question of when he goes to a new region, how's he going to fare? It's going to be a big challenge. What did you start going about to start creating these relationships and start kind of getting some groundwork laid to get started in a new place?
No, it's been somewhat of a repetitive theme, and I think it's a fair question, and certainly I think being from a certain region of the country or coaching there for an extended period of time, it doesn't guarantee success, but it doesn't eliminate it either. And, I've talked a little bit how Coach Saban, Coach Meyer, and, Jimbo Fisher weren't guys that were born in the South but had, a good amount of success down here. And, I just think if you can recruit, you can recruit. If you can coach, you coach. And if you can't, you can't. And I just think that we've got a good mixture of guys from the North and guys from the South, and specifically Mississippi, and blending those guys together on top of the plan that we've developed with, Mike Villagran and our recruiting staff that, it's really kind of gone past the regional aspect of it.
Is it a lot of hustle in those early days and weeks to try to get out there and introduce yourself and talk to coaches in the area and that sort of thing?
I think that was, quite frankly, one of the key components of the relationship building aspect that, when we first got here, we had a good number of kids committed, and then we hit the road running and, was out on the road and not only went out to see all of our commits from in-state and kind of our footprint area, but got into as many high schools in the state of Mississippi as possible in December and January, whether they had a prospect, maybe that was, a high profile guy or not, just to, introduce ourselves, meet the coaches, and certainly we've opened our doors to them, and a lot of them have come through to talk ball and, visit spring practice and things like that. So, like you said, the relationship part of it was crucial at the onset.
How important was it as you're making this move and you're taking this job to have a guy like Charles Huff in your corner?
No, Charles is a great person first and foremost, an excellent position coach and a very thorough recruiter. And, to have a guy, certainly that kind of like Luke Getzey on our staff, who I coached at Akron, who came down from the Packers, and Andrew Briner, who I've been with at UConn and at Fordham, to have guys that you're familiar with, who know how you operate, who know what the expectation level is, who know what the culture is that you're trying to develop, that familiarity, when you're blending that staff together, with guys maybe you don't know and you're working with for the first time, having guys like Charles who have done it a bunch of different places and have had a high level of success. That was a critical hire.
And how about the opportunity, another little blast from the past for Penn State people, was Bob Shoup. How did the opportunity come about to get him on board down there too?
I have a list of defensive coordinators, and certainly, Bob grew up in a town about 15 minutes from me. He was a little bit older, kind of my brother's age, but had knew of Bob and his work. Not only from Penn State, but going back to his time at William Mary, he's a very successful FCS coordinator. But Bob at Vanderbilt and at Penn State, and has had top 15, top 10 defenses, and had the opportunity, and he was available, after Coach Jones was let go at Tennessee, and, of all the things that you're looking for in the staff, someone that has the ability to motivate, someone that can communicate, someone could put the kids in position to be successful with the scheme. You know, Bob has a good track record of that in his career.
So I've heard James Franklin talk a few times about, you know, the transition from assistant or coordinator to head coach and being in that big chair. And what have you learned, or what have you been surprised about as you make that transition to being in the big chair now?
Well, I'll tell you what, it was really neat because having had the luxury and the opportunity of being a head coach at Fordham University for 4 years, you know, albeit at a, you know, at a lesser level, at the FCS level, you know, learned a lot of lessons there, and we had a good amount of success. But really coming back to Penn State and the opportunity that Coach Franklin gave me to get back into the, you know, assistant coach and coordinator position and kind of, you know, learn some new things from a head coach who's had a tremendous amount of success at Vanderbilt, and the things that Coach has done at Penn State have been remarkable. And, you know, it gives you a fresh set of, you know, fresh perspective, you know, it gives you a new set of ideas. And then eventually when you have the opportunity again to be a head coach, I think it makes you better because you're really trying to, you know, take all the positive things from the places that you've been. And certainly my time at Penn State, you know, from a program building, from a cultural aspect, you know, from an X's and O's of what we did, you know, offensively. And certainly Coach is a renowned recruiter, you know, carrying those good things in and bringing them down to Mississippi State.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. And Joe, I didn't mean to discount your time at Fordham. I meant just kind of transitioning back into that role at Mississippi State. And
oh yeah, absolutely.
I think when it comes to recruiting, you know, James has certainly made his name for that. I think James has shown a lot more substance in this part of the country than a lot of people probably gave him credit for coming from Vanderbilt. But one of the things that I've heard consistently from coaches and recruits and things like that was just, you know, the little things, I think, when it comes to responsiveness and texting back and messaging back and answering questions in a timely manner. How does that kind of conscientiousness factor into recruiting when it comes down to relationship building? It seems to matter a lot to the kids and their parents and their coaches.
No, you've got to be thorough in every aspect of it. And, you know, whether it's the young man that you're recruiting or his parents, you know, or, you know, a guardian or a key person in the decision-making process, you know, ultimately, as we talked about a little bit earlier, it's about identifying what's important to the kid relative to his decision-making criteria and then be able to, you know, effectively communicate, you know, how your school meets those desires. And, you know, there's, you know, like you said, punctuality, thoroughness, attention to detail, you know, all those things are critical in those stages.
So looking back to after your first season at Penn State, I think a lot of people started to think or assume that you would or wouldn't be back for 2017, that 2017 would or wouldn't be your last season as offensive coordinator. What did you hear out there that was kind of misconceptions about where you were in the thought process or bad assumptions? Or, you know, it's our job to talk about it and try to get inside your head, and we can't always do that. But what did people kind of misunderstand about where you were at in that process?
I don't necessarily think it was a misunderstanding per se. You know, there were certainly some opportunities after the 2016 season, and you know, they say the best job is the one you have. So my focus was on doing the best I could for Coach Franklin and for the Penn State program in that 2017 season. And folks, like Vince Lombardi said, success demands singleness of purpose. And I think, you know, we were 4 points away from being undefeated. I think we had another excellent season. You know, Coach Ronnie and the guys and the staff did a great job in the bowl game. And then you know, after the season, some opportunities presented themselves. And when you talk about, you know, the decision to take a job or not take the job, it's personal, it's professional, and it's monetary. You know, the opportunity to be a head coach in the SEC and specifically the SEC West, you know, was something to me that was, you know, too good to pass up on a bunch of different levels.
Looking back on your 2 years, what are some of the things that you're going to kind of cling to and special things about your time there that you're going to cling to and remember as part of your coaching journey the rest of the way? Certainly a guy like Saquon Barkley, and it seems like the relationship with Trace was always good from the outset. But yeah. What parts of your time there are you going to treasure the most?
No, just about all of it. I mean, to be honest with you, coming in, you know, after two successive 7 and 6 years and you know, coming off of the sanctions and being able to continue to help build on what Coach Franklin envisioned of the program. But, you know, just with the guys on our offensive staff, for the 2 years, you know, hanging around with those guys and putting game plans together having a lot of fun there, and then certainly the success we had offensively relative to the production. But, you know, I really look back to that Big Ten championship game as something that was special, and the run we had in 2017, and, you know, helping Trace, you know, certainly, you know, become one of the most prolific passers and winners in Penn State football history from the quarterback position, and, you know, seeing guys like Saquon being taken second in draft, Michael Kosicki, Deshaun Hamilton, you know, and all those guys. Those are things I'll take with me forever.
So there's a little bit of a transition. I don't mean from you to Ricky Rowney, but from you lose Saquon Barkley, and now it's Trace McSorley's show. And I don't think that he was ever in Saquon's shadow per se, but I don't think a lot of people really gave him all that much credit for what you guys were able to do for 2 years. And now he steps out of it. And what would your expectation be for having a guy like that running the show now as a fifth-year senior?
Now, Ricky's going to do a phenomenal job continuing – you know, what we've done offensively, and certainly putting his own, you know, spin on it, and his, you know, certainly, you know, new subtleties, new nuances, new twists to the offense. But, you know, with a guy like Saquon, you know, he's going to get a lot of the highlights and the accolades, and all of them are deserved. But I think the biggest thing the past 2 years is, I don't think it's what Trace is going to do this upcoming year, because he's going to have a phenomenal year. But last year in particular, you know, defenses were centered around taking Saquon Barkley, you know, out of the game, you know, by, you know, blitzes, or by, you know, loading the box. And, you know, that was putting the game into Trace's hands. And a lot of times he had to win it, you know, throwing the ball or running it. And he did. So, you know, I think, you know, not having Saquon, it's going to, you know, create a different dynamic of who are they going to try to defend. And you've got ample weapons. You know, Miles is going to do an awesome job. You know, Juwan, DeAndre, you know, a bunch of young guys in the slot. So I think this is really going to, you know, elevate Trace and give him a great opportunity.
So about a minute here, Joe. I have this working theory. I think I've pushed it a little bit, never speaking it as truth. But as you're going through the 2016 after the season, and there's some interest and there's some narrative out there about you, it felt like maybe going into the 2017 season that Ricky was maybe given a little bit more access, or a little bit taken under the wing or something for a potential transition. Am I wrong in believing that or assuming that?
That had never been discussed with us. In terms of, hey, this is going to be potentially my last season here. And I think Ricky will be the first one to tell you that. But I think one of the great things that we did, you know, in 16 and in 17 was having a tremendous amount of, you know, input from all members of the staff. You know, Coach Lime Grover with protections and run game, Coach Gass and Coach Ronnie, you know, in the pass game, and, you know, Coach Huff and all those guys. I mean, they really did. We did a great job as a group putting the game plan together. And I think that's why you're seeing a bunch of, you know, the guys in that room having success and opportunities now. And I'm certainly, you know, couldn't be more happy for Coach Ronnie, and he's going to do a phenomenal job for Coach Rankle.
Joe Moorhead, head coach, Mississippi State, former Penn State offensive coordinator, joining us here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Thank you, Joe.
Appreciate it, man. Have a great one, Dustin.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
If you're looking for the largest selection of beers in the area, it's time to head on over to Route 15 Beverage Express in Dillsburg. Conveniently located right off Route 15, you will also find a great selection of local and craft beers, and you can take care of all your barbecue needs, as Route 15 Beverage now carries the great 409 Tailgate Club sauces and rubs. Head over to my favorite place, Ross Tucker, Route 15 Beverage Express. Convenient location, largest selection, and great service.